I want to begin by welcoming our Simon. We have a tremendous chos to hear from Simon. For those who don't know, he's one of the Rosh Yeshiva in NYU. He's been a minag. It's been far more than a chazak at this point, for 27 years, around that. So it's been every chol moed Sukkot. We have this chos to hear Divrei Torah from Rav Simon. We know that the Yontif of Sukkot is unique in that every Yontif has a chiyuv of simcha, but on Sukkot there's an extra level of simcha, an extra chiyuv of a simcha yisir, of extra special simcha on Sukkot. The Rambam says, we learn from the pasuk, "Usmachtem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem." They should rejoice before Hashem your God. So one of the kiyumim, many times, lefnei Hashem Elokeichem, and I think obviously Divrei Torah, would be a kiyum in such a simcha, p'kudei Hashem yisharim samchei lev, that's what Talmud Torah is. It's supposed to give us a tremendous amount of joy, a tremendous amount of simcha. So obviously the combination of a yantiv like Sukkot, hearing Divrei Torah from a tremendous Talmud Chacham and all the other milos that were put in the WhatsApp group that we know, Balmidos, how much he affects really our community at large, how much he passes for us and does for us, is appreciated. And obviously, again, we have a tremendous chas. I do want to thank Didi for helping coordinate a lot of this. I know he's not here. He had a brother's engagement party, but he did a lot. So I want to thank him in advance for that. But all that being said, we have a tremendous honor. So it's my pleasure to have Simon.
Okay, thank you, Rabbi Steinmetz, for your kind words. Thank you, Rabbi Spira, for driving, and Aaron for Bez Hashem driving me back, and it's good to see Mrs. Gelnick and everyone who's here. So it's always a big schuss to be here on Chol HaMoed Sukkot. It's part of my routine. I have to know exactly how many years, but it's a long time. But all different rabbanim that have been the Einstein rabbinate for all these years. Okay, so I was thinking, it's always a challenge. Half the challenge is to figure out what to speak about, and so I wanted to speak about something that has to do with Sukkot and broader halacha as well, and that is the concept of in halacha of keva and arai. Permanent and temporary, and how that fits into halacha, and please feel free. I'm always a believer of people asking questions and participation. I'm not from the lecture style, so please feel free to please feel free to speak up. Okay. The first Gemara in the first Mishnah, Gemara in Masechta Sukkah, deals with the question of is a Sukkah a Diras Keva or a Sukkah a Diras Arai? And that is the discussion of how tall a Sukkah could be. In other words, a Sukkah, the Malami Chaf Amma, is Psula. According to one opinion, and because that opinion holds that a sukkah is a diras arai, is a temporary abode, and therefore the temporary nature is that it's not going to be so tall, because when it's so tall, it means that it's going to be a stronger structure, etc. And sukkah is diras arai. And then Rabbi Yehuda's sheet is that sukkah is a diras keva, that it's not a diras arai, and then according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be kosher even lamalami bechafama. So that's the gemara in sukkah. However, there's a parallel gemara in Masechta Yuma that also discusses the same topic, the same machlokas, whether sukkah is a diras keva, a sukkah is diras arai. And the context of that discussion is whether a sukkah is chayev in mezuzah or not. Because the Gemara says that if you hold sukkah is a diras keva, then it's chayiv in mezuzah. If you hold as diras arai, it's potter mi mezuzah. And we know our practice is not to put a mezuzah on a sukkah. But we have to step back for a second and say, well, what is this machlokes about? I mean, everyone agrees that sukkah is only 7 days, chutzlar is 8 days. So to me, that's pretty much arai. You know, you just have something that you sleep in or eat in or use for 7 days. That's pretty temporary, right? So then, what's the other opinion all about? That Rabbi Yehuda Shita. So in the Sefer, I think it's called Divrei Mordechai, Rabbi Mordechai Mann of Eretz Yisrael, he said, it quotes the Gevurah Sari of the Shagas Aryeh, and he says, no, of course everyone knows how long the sukkahs last, etc. But the idea is that something that the Torah is mechayiv you, even if it's something that is temporary, but the Torah is mechayiv you. In other words, if I would just make a makeshift, structure for 7 days in the middle of the year or whatever, then of course that would be diras arai, it wouldn't be chayiv mezuzah, etc. But since the Torah is mechayiv you, we have a concept of rachmana achshavei, that the Torah gave it chashivas, but the Torah is saying b'shivas yomim, that you're going to be in the sukkah, so even though it's not the regular din of keva, but that itself gives it a concept of keva. I'll give you another example of this halacha in other areas and of course we have the idea of achilas keva and achilas arai regarding the sukkah as well, that you can have a snack outside the sukkah, but a meal you're supposed to have in the sukkah. And even meals, the poskim, based on the Ritva, the body pointed out that even if technically you're not having bread at the meal, but if that's your meal, then it's proper to have it in the sukkah. Because people always have this idea, okay, I'm not eating bread, I'm not eating mazonos, but still, poskim, as the body pointed out, based on the Ritva, that if it's something that this is my meal, then it is the proper thing would be, whether we make the bracha or not, that's a side idea, whether we could actually make the bracha of Leishei Basukah. Not making that bracha of Leishei Basukah is not going to take away from the idea that the achila, that is an achilas kevi. You have, Americans don't eat, are not bread eaters. In other words, if we wouldn't have to eat bread because of halacha, and like a Shabbos and this, I'm not so sure how much bread we would, we would be eating. Someone told me, Rabbi David Feinstein, he grew up as a kid in Luban, in Russia. He said a fleishik meal meant you took a piece of bread and you had some fleishik schmaltz on, and the milchik meal, you took the bread and you had, it was all around the bread. That was in a different time in a different country. It's not necessarily the American scene, the American diet, the American whatever you'd like to call it. But that's the idea. So you still would eat in the sukkah, even if it's not with bread. But this is, you're having a whole meal. You have a steak and a side dish and a this and a that. And you come out, so okay, you won't make a birkas hamazon at the end, but nonetheless, it's a form of achilas keva. There's an interesting halacha that we know that a person has to be mafresh trumas and maestros before they can eat from the produce, the tithes. Take the tithes and be mafresh, etc. But there's an interesting halacha that you could have an achilas, you could eat the achilas arai even before you are mafresh the Trumas and Maisus, which is a very unique type of thing, because something that's treif, you can't say I'm going to eat treif ba'aroi, right? But by this halacha we have this. But the Gemara says, but achila on Shabbos kovas, that if you're going to eat the produce on Shabbos, so then Shabbos gives it a chashivas, and the achila that you eat on Shabbos is considered keva, and therefore you don't have the heter of eating achila saroi without being mafresh. So the marach or zarua, that's the son of the or zarua, the rishon the or zarua, Rav Chaim or zarua, he has a tshuva sefer that has a lot of interesting chidushim. So one of the chidushim he says is, we know there's a din that we wash and bench on bread usually, but the halacha is if you kovei su'uda and pass a baba kisnin on cookies and cake and something like that, and you eat a lot and you're full, etc. I mean, all the details of that halacha require its own shiur and its own right, but that's the basic thing of eating achilas. Eating being kovei suda on pasa babakistan with cookies, cakes, etc., that would require berkas hamazon. It would require hamotzi. Right? You would have to wash netilas yadayim if you know that you're planning to eat a whole, box of cookies or something like that. Yeah, that's what you know that you're planning to do. So then you'd make hamotzi on the cookies. Right, it's an interesting type of halacha that we make hamotzi on the cookies, and then you make a berkas hamazon at the end. So the marach or zeruah's chiddush is that if you're going to eat even a kezayis of cookies and cake on Shabbos, Shabbos is kovas. Shabbos creates a kvias, so then you'd have a shiloh of a berkas hamazon. That's a good chumrah to have, especially if you want to lose weight. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal was the only person I know that was machmir for this opinion, meaning that he would only eat cookies or cake in the context of a meal, because of a real meal of hamotzi, of bread, because since the Marach or Zohar says it could be that you're mechuyev in Berkas HaMazon, but not everyone agrees. So to actually do the Berkas HaMazon, not everyone agrees to that this whole extension, but it will be at least a suffix Berkas HaMazon, so therefore you shouldn't get involved with it. So then an economy that he would not do such a thing. Okay, that's something to, but it's the same type of halacha. Okay, so let's move on a little bit to other areas of halacha that have this concept of keva versus aroi. Well, so one area of halacha that people always are interested in is what's considered shamos and what's not considered shamos, especially a person like me who does a lot of xeroxing and things like that. So what's considered shamos? What do you have to put in shamos, and what could you just discard? So one of the advantages I have that my wife grew up on the Lower East Side, and we spent many Yom Tovim, including this past Yom Tov and future Bez Hashem, in the Lower East Side, and the Lower East Side has communal sukkahs. So communal sukkahs is very exciting. A lot of people would used to their private home sukkah, but my shita is every year I wanted to go to the Lower East Side to be, especially if you have Rav David Feinstein in your sukkah, and that was part of the communal sukkah, so that was a place that. So he told me on many occasions, different occasions, when I asked him about all the newspapers that have Divrei Torah, so what do you do with them after you want to discard them? You have to put everything in shamos and everything. So I said, no, just put it with the rest of the newspapers. And his shita was that something that is Ara, it's not, it's meant to read and discard, not like a regular sefer where you learn it, put it back, and you keep it. But so he felt that that would not be considered shamus, and then you could put the newspapers with the regular recycle of the other newspapers that you have, and it wouldn't be considered shamus. He even told me once that even if there's Shem Hashem in the publication or whatever it is, it also would not be considered shamus. Now, yes?
How about taking it to the bathroom? Newspaper with the regard?
No, so taking it to the bathroom is a different halacha, because taking it, I mean, to read the Torah in the bathroom would be improper. We see not allowed to have Mahar and Divrei Torah.
Read the other parts of the paper.
In other words, to read the other parts of the paper that's right. That's a different shaila, because that could be still. It might be, you know, a bizayon to bring it to the place where. But that should require more thought about it to bring it into the bathroom.
Why should it be that if it's
Arai,
then there's no...
Oh, so let me tell you. So the Netziv, this idea is written by the Netziv in his tshuvas called the Meshiv Dover. He wrote tshuvas, and he writes, he speaks about what we call today galleys. You know, if you ever write something and they print it out and you read it, and you make the corrections. And then you make the corrections, and then the galleys you throw away. Because they say that, this I heard once from Moshe Meir Weiss, that he said that Moshe Feinstein would correct his galleys on Tisha B'Av. Because he says, no, that's learning. That's not learning. Just looking for the typos and the mistakes so that you could do even on Tisha B'Av. So the Netziv says that the galleys could be thrown out. They don't have to be put in shamus. And I think he also even mentioned, if not mistaken, even with Shem Hashem, if I'm not mistaken. So Rabbi Yashiv wrote that no, that's not the same as a newspaper, because the galleys you're not learning from at all. You're not using it for. You're just looking for the mistakes of the thing, and therefore that the Netziv permitted. But something that you learn from, even if it's all the parsha sheets and all the you learn from them. That would be considered shameless. In other words, but Rav David thought not that way. That even if you're gonna, it's something that's made for temporary use, that would be because then, in other words, the idea of the kedusha of the Divrei Torah or the Shem Hashem, in its written form, was only considered on that higher level to become shameless if it was written to be a permanent usage. But if it's something that was meant to be a temporary usage, so then that stature is not attained by that thing, and therefore it would be able to be discarded. So that's a fascinating, and that comes up a lot, because sometimes people get swamped with potential shamos, and so that's something good to keep in mind if you have a situation where you just don't know what to do with all these Xeroxes and all these newspapers, and so there's what to rely on to discard them and not to have to put them in shamos. Another halacha is Lagabe Tfilas Kalim, right? We know that tefillas kelim requires something that's made out of glass or metal, requires tefillas kelim. But the question is, today we have a lot of things that are disposable. We have aluminum tins and things like that. So do they require? So many poskim, Rav Moshe was one of the, has a tshuva about this. That no, that even and even if you use it a couple of times, you know, it's still considered disposable, and you have an aluminum tin, so you don't have to bring an aluminum tin to the mikvah because it's omed lizrika. So therefore, if it's omed lizrika, it doesn't require to. To be tovilt, and that Rav Moshe has his parallel tshuva regarding a kiddush cup. Remember, Wayu had a Shabbaton in the mountains a couple of weeks ago. So I brought two things. Besides the regular things that people will bring, but the two things that I brought extra was a real becher, you know, a regular metal kos, you know, because I was choshesh that they're not going to have one there. And Moshe's shita was that you shouldn't make kiddush on disposable cups and disposable things, because just like if it's broken, you know, it takes away from the chashiva. So too, if it's omed lizrika, it's omed lizrika. So then it wouldn't be really considered a chashivas of a kli to make kiddush on. So I figured I would bring. And it's interesting how many people asked to borrow my clothes on that Shabbos. And then the other thing I brought was cans of Moscato wine. You know, the blue Moscato, right? That became a popular, you know, that's my favorite wine. Anyone's coming to my house for Shabbos, that's the wine you're supposed to bring. Sometimes people bring this expensive wine, and it's so expensive, but I can't, you know with these wines, so sometimes they're so expensive, you can't drink them because, you know, it's chaval. You know, the person wants to, you know, be nice to me. And it's like we had a thing, once there was a fellow coming from out of town, for dating purposes. He lived out of town, so he was going to eat all the meals by us for Shabbos. So he wanted to, you know, he wanted to be nice to us. So what did he bring? He brought this beautiful bottle of schnapps, you know, expensive schnapps. And as soon as he brought it, my wife and I were both telepathy. We were both thinking the same thing. What was the thing that we were thinking? We don't drink. We're not schnapps drinkers. And we also don't sell chametz. So what are we going to do with this? So the answer in the end was we have a very good super, and he was the beneficiary of that bottle of schnapps. So that's another discussion that requires a different shiur. When could you make in this generation? We've accepted the fact that grape juice is considered like wine and you can make kiddush on grape juice. The Tzelem HaRav, he passed it that way. Rav Moshe Feinstein went along with it, and that's the way it was accepted. Which is interesting that Rabbi Zul Chalap, he should live and be well, was the former dean of Reitz, the Rav in the Bronx. He always would say this. He said when he was growing up, one of the divides between Orthodoxy and other branches of Judaism is an Orthodox Jew would never make kiddush on grape juice. And in the other branch of Judaism, it was different. And it's interesting how things changed. But so I'm from the old school. I try to avoid making kiddush on grape juice because I'm not even sure you can make a bari perag often on grape juice. But that really requires a whole different shiur, because even though the Gemara says that soched adam eshkol shalanovim va'omer alav kiddush hayom, that means you could just take a grape from before Shabbos and squeeze it, and then they have grape juice, you make kiddush. But many poskim say that's only if you don't do anything to it. So potentially it could ferment and intoxicate. But if you pasteurize and things today, so it's a big discussion in the poskim whether it still really gets its status of yayin, because it's not going to necessarily be able to ferment and intoxicate, and maybe it's not even a bar perag often. So that's why I brought the two things. I brought the becher, and I brought the, because a lot of camps today, you know, it was a Shabbaton, whatever, you know, they have the, you know, non-alcohol rules that they don't, so when I go to a camp for Shabbos, so this is the best thing to do. This is the biggest bracha, the cans. The cans, because I'll tell you why. Because it was mamish, it was the last normal Shabbos before COVID, where we're still going away for Shabbos to a bar mitzvah. You know, and things before the world, you know, was mahapech. You know, so I packed a Moscato in my whatever, you know, the blue nice cans. And we're about to leave, and I put the thing on the floor, and I heard a crack. And I said to my wife, I'm glad it happened here and not when we got there, because I had to change everything, you know, all the clothing and the thing was obviously full of wine. So then when I bring a gift for wine, I make sure to put it in a separate thing and be more careful. But when I go to a camp and I'm not there for giving a nice gift to somebody, I bring the Moscato bottles, the cans, and those are not going to crack. And now, so the other thing you'll ask me is, what about opening the can on Shabbos, which is another point of this thing. So there's a lot of big discussions about opening cans and bottles on Shabbos. But I follow the Shita, and this Rav Chaim Noah discusses this opinion. Not everyone agrees with it, so I'm not here to, you know, say that this is the end all or be all. But this, the whole idea of Tikkun Mana, of, you know, opening cans and Shiloh of Pesach and Tikkun Mana, it could be this, the Rav Abadi discussed this, the Rav Chaim Noah in the Sefer discussed this. Maybe that's only when you're having a permanent kli. When you have a permanent kli and you're doing something, like you have eyeglasses, and something went wrong, the glass went out, and you want to screw it in and put it in. So that's a permanent thing. So not just wearing your eyeglasses today and throwing them out. So that's the real din of Tikkun Mana. But something that's disposable, so some say it means disposable right away, but some say it means you can throw out this can as soon as you've finished, and then that's it. You're not going to refill it, reuse it. It's omed lezrika, so that's how some poskim hold that there wouldn't be a din of Tikkun Mana in that situation, and hence you'd be able to... To have, so the two things, you know, like I was speaking to Rabbi Konigsberg about this, the two things are Hobbit Hotalia, because I'm being machmir on the Becher, because I'm following the Shita that it's, if it's disposable, it's a question of of a Kli that's maybe not really a Kli. On the other hand, so therefore I can be Makel on the opening up the cans, because the, I had one Shiloh over Yontif that I was not fully consistent, but I was going to be a Tirchel of the Tzibur. It was part of the concept of the communal sukkahs that we have in the Lower East Side, is that, you know, there's a washing station there. And the washing station is hit and miss of what the kli that's going to be in the sink at that particular time. Is it going to be a, you know, regular TLC time kli, or is it going to just be a plastic plastic kli, you know, which is maybe not a kli because it's disposable. So so the first night it was good. The second night it was this. I wasn't so crazy about it based on this. I said, you know, this is not the only shita that exists, and it's going to be a big tircha de tzibur for me, you know, for my, the rest of the family. That I've got to find them, you know. So sometimes you have to, you know, take other factors into account. Bemokom hadchak, and you know, so I washed the tefillas yadayim with the. It was a nice place to come. It wasn't a, one of these shvach, you know. But nonetheless, I was makel on that on the second day. Okay, no, no. That's a. That's right. I should have used my vecha. That's a good idea. I like that. Very good.
Did you say a brach on it?
Or the tefillas yadayim.
The...
Yeah, you're saying if I'm such a maybe I shouldn't. You're right, but I did. I did say it. But I hear, I hear. Okay, I hear.
This is a classic Nachman that is like permanent. Nobody, you don't want to throw it out. It's just made out of plastic.
You mean if you have a plastic? No, the things that I, the thing that I was just talking about, that the tilis, that thing that was in the sink at that time, was something that you know, you have different levels of play. You know, they have the Shabbos plastic cups and the weekday plastic cups, and so it was like a nice, it was a nice plastic cup. They say over from different people that you should use two cups. I'm not so into that two cup. You just. There's two plastic cups to me is, you know, two plastic cups. doesn't make it better.
I've heard it described as zero plus zero is still zero.
Right, exactly. Right, zero plus zero is still zero. That is correct. Oh, tissues. So tissues is another area in halacha that that also ties into this discussion. Now, the minhag in the world today is that people don't tear toilet paper on the perforation on Shabbos. And now, why is that? So one reason is it's called mechatech. That's your tearing. In other words, tearing on Shabbos is not necessarily an issue. So you just tear a plastic thing to get something out, right? Korea, usually the Rambam says if you have two niyaros that are stuck together and you're separating them, so those are, you know, so that's Korea. Those. A lot of times, let me just make this comment, we have these English translations to rabbinic Hebrew words that are not accurate. For example, you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. What do you mean you're not carrying? Chotzah. Chotzah is not carrying. And it was like a roll of baby stroller from the Rishus HaYachid into the Rishus HaRabim. That's an Isser. I mean, if there's no air or whatever, that's because it's not. You don't say, oh, and that's why people come to this conclusion. I could take a bobby, a pin, and put something on my, you know, even though it has no use. I'll put the key in a, you know, about carrying. So carrying is a very poor definition of hotzah, and it could lead to erroneous conclusions about what's mutter and what's usser. So. The same thing about Korea. Tearing and Korea is also a very bad translation because Korea could just mean separating Niyoros and you're not really tearing. I didn't tear. But that might be osur in contrast to just so you get a wrapper off the food and you have to just tear it open, which and then your mamish tearing. But that might not be any osur at all. So that's another example where the Hebrew, you know, the English translations that we use are very misleading, and could So normally that's what we assume, that we don't do it for two reasons. We don't tear the toilet paper on the perforation, either because it's mechatech. Mechatech means when you cut something b'mida. You want a particular size. Say I would be making window shades. So if I would make this window shades, Chas V'Shalom, you'd make it on Shabbos, and you want it to be a certain, because it has to fit the window. So you're very machbid. It should be a certain mida. So that's mechatech. That's usher. So here it's on the perforation. So you want it right over there. So that's one reason. And the other reason is because it's like a tikkun nono. In other words, you're making something useful to clean something, etc. So one could argue on both points. One could argue on both points. You know, Shlomo Zalman says that tearing a tissue or toilet paper on the perforation is not mechatech, because you don't really care about. In other words, the only reason you're doing it over there is because that's where the perforation is. It's not like you care so much about the mida. It could have been a little less, a little more, but this is where the company decided. And I know that people say that they did a lot of research into how they decided that it's, how, you know, okay, I'm sure they did a lot of research. but Lemaisa, Shlomo Zalman says he doesn't think it's machatech, because it's not like the example I gave you before, that I'm making the window shades here, so I need the spurt, you know, so it should be like the exact size of the window, so then I'm machatech b'mida, and I'm makpid on the mida, in contrast to this, that I'm not really makpid on the mida, I'm just doing it over there because that's the easiest way where you could do the perforation, is the easiest place. That's number one. And the tikkun mana, so that's taloy on the discussion we had before. If something is omed lezrika, then maybe there's no din tikkun mana. And that in the Mishnayos of the Kamarna. We have it in the fifth floor of the library. It's not in your regular Mishnayos Kahati's set that you'll get, but the Mishnayos of the Kamarna Rebbe, so he has this idea that maybe toilet paper is not considered... it's not considered tikkun mana, and then if you put it together with Shlomo Zalman, that it's not mechatech. So then, you know, as far as people have said, lakula. Even though I'm not here to tell you not to do it, because lamaisa minig ha'olam is to have things pre-cut or pre or so. And that's what I, you know, even though I do believe that there's room, you know, to be makel, but, you know, I don't want to go against the minaga olam. So, but sometimes the shasat chak, so they say the shasat chak, don't tear on the perforation, but, okay, but this maybe also is a possibility for shasat chak as well. So, yes.
I think it's answered, but are we making these pools out of necessity, meaning because... Need toilet paper, or meaning is that why we care in advance, or is it?
No, because we assume that that one of these svaras is l'chumra. So we assume one of these svaras is l'chumra, but one could argue with both stadei chumra as well. So it's not so. And many people are makpid not to open cans on you know, because you know. But in this discussion, you know, of different halachas that the Arai and the Keva might play a role, that's another example. Well, for example, I'll tell you another thing. Brushing your teeth on Shabbos. So I don't brush my teeth on Shabbos. When I was a little kid, you know, Moshe Feinstein was the Gadol Hador. He still is the Gadol Hador, you know. But that was the tshuva, finished. And then when I got older, I wasn't so convinced. Rav Avadi Yosef wrote a because what Ramosha Sfaras were the smoothing the paste on your tooth. So that's some type of, so Shechter points out, some type of Mareach. But Rav Avadi Yosef says, no, that's, it's totally temporary. It's totally, you know, it's not like the real mamareach is when you have a barrel and there's a hole in the barrel, and you want to take some, you know, tar and smooth it on the thing, and now it's going to be there. That's the real mamareach. So Rav Moshe's thing is a very big chiddush. So, but l'maisa, that's the way I grew up, so that's the way I do it. But when people ask, and sometimes it's relevant, you know, going to the mikvah on Yontif or on Shabbos when people have to brush their teeth. So I think there's Yeshal Min Lismach for the other Svara that there's no Isser to brush your teeth on Shabbos or on Yontif. Even with a regular toothpaste and a regular brush and a regular thing based on the same idea of Akroi Baum.
What about, like, they have some food bags that have, like, a little bit of a rip kind of to start it, but then when you actually rip it, you're not actually ripping out a lot. It's just, like, a little kind of cut, like, tear that's already pre-made.
It's already there, so you could start it.
Start it, yeah, but you're kind of ripping randomly after that.
Yeah, so, right, so that could be the same type of shayla. In other words, if you hold that... that mechatech, you know, that the toilet paper is mechatech, could be this is mechatech also. But if you hold like the other svar, that really the toilet paper is really not mechatech, it's just that this is just makes it easier for you. That was Rav Shlomo Zalman's svar, which I think makes a lot of sense.
It's like it just starts the tear.
The tear
is not precise for the whole long length of the tear. There's just like a little. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah.
Just from the beginning. Yeah.
So
it could be a partial mechatech. I mean, chatzi shir mechatech. Yeah.
So some people like they only have toilet paper available on Shabbos and it's not pre-cut. You just put it into the toilet bowl and then flush. So if it's being done through the toilet bowl, how is that different? If you're the one pressing the.
So I don't follow what you say.
Before.
It's one long piece. Like, in the YU bathrooms, there's no preparation.
Oh, no, right.
They just run it and, you know.
I got it.
It's the most eco-friendly.
Right, so that wouldn't be a shayla of mechatek. All the shayla is, would it be a din of tikkun mana? Because now you're making it usable.
Is there a grum aspect
to the well, no, because if you're doing it with your hand, aren't you first tearing it?
No, you're pulling it. You're never tearing. You're only tearing when you flush because it's wet and it's going to go down.
Uh-huh. Right, but
like
still...
There's a lot of extra between each one.
Uh-huh. Okay, we'll think about it.
So you're saying it's not Korea because it's not a chata because he doesn't want a certain mida?
Or regular toilet paper, that's where Shlomo Zalman Orbach held. And rather was a mechata because you're not really interested in that mida. It's just that's where they made the preparation, so that's where it's convenient. But it's not like the case I told you where you want this to be. If it would be too long or too short, the whole thing would, these are made very, very precisely to fit in these particular windows.
Would you say it's better for someone sat there of Eretz to be some effort of Shlomo Zalman instead of doing the flushing thing?
It depends on the situation, but that's something to put in the mix, you know. Yeah.
Some of the English svarim on brushing teeth on Shabbos, they talk about Ovdin Dechol being an issue.
Yeah. It's hard to understand what does that mean? It's Ovdin Dechol. I mean, to me, that's the least of the issues. Some people have a special Shabbos toothbrush. That's also these are all big chidushim to me. That is, you know.
About washing the toothbrush after using it.
Yeah, also because that it's not absorbing. It's not, you know, nothing.
I say because of hachana.
Oh, hachana. So. So I'll tell you. There are two types of Jews. Some Jews, after they daven on Shabbos morning, they take their talis and they make it into a ball and they just keep it there till after Shabbos. And then some type of Jews actually fold their talis and put it back in their talis bag. Rav Soloveitchik was of the opinion not to. Rav Shach always says, Rav Soloveitchik can only fold his talis once a year. When was that? The night of Kol Nidre. Because that's the only time you're using your talis at night, and you're going to use it again the next day. So he held that it was a issue. There's an issue of folding in Shabbos, but some post can make all of that, but that's what he held. Rav Yitzchak Abari Shlita told me he didn't think that's hachana. That's normal use. When you learn a sefer, so you finish, you put it back on the shelf. You're not doing hachana. You're just using something and you're putting it back. That's a hachana. There's a great, the best tshuva on hachana is by the Marshag. You have to learn the Hungarian poskim. You see, when you grow up in the Litvish yeshiva, you don't know that there's a whole world outside, you know, the Litvish world of the great Hungarian rabbanim. Today I was in Williamsburg. Today I collect stacha during the Yom Narayim, so I call it in, and then, you know, Chol HaMoed is, so I was discussing with my friends from Satmar, the, you know, the Eim HaBonim Smecha, and his whole, because it's interesting that he's accepted in the Satmar community, even though he wrote the Eim HaBonim Smecha, and it's always found that very interesting, you know, because a lot of times, when you write one thing that's, you know, people, then you're possibly or totally. So here he was able to, you know, like he's still well regarded, and even in that community, even though. So you have to explain that. How do you explain that they didn't? He wasn't apostled, but apparently he wasn't apostled. So what was I saying? What were we talking?
Marshag.
Oh, the Marshag. Yeah. So Marshag says like this: the definition of hachana is that you're doing something on Shabbos to save time on Motzai Shabbos. That's why you're doing it. Let me tell you what he was talking about. He was talking about a person who they would milk the cows on Shabbos. So there were no heterim then for non-Chol of Israel because there were no government laws or whatever. So if you wanted to get milk on Motzai Shabbos, so you had to go there on Shabbos to watch the milking. Now, why were you doing that? Not because you wanted to save time. It's just there was no opportunity after Shabbos. They weren't milking. That was the time they were milking. So you're not doing it to save time. In other words, if you had a long Shabbos afternoon, and you and you know, like in the summer months, so Motzai Shabbos is very short. Who wants to, you know, first start cleaning the dishes on Motzai Shabbos when the Shabbos ends at 10 o'clock, right? And you have these 5 hours in the. So if you would do, you would clean the dishes on Shabbos afternoon, so you could save time on Motzai Shabbos. That would be that's hachana. And therefore the case of the milking, he said you can go watch the milking because you're not trying to save time. It's just they're not going to be milking on that time. And that's the idea.
Washing dishes okay on Shabbos? Washing dishes okay on
Shabbos? With cold water, if you need to. Not for, say you want to reuse the dish. So then you shouldn't use the hot water list and other issues, but you want to just reuse the dish and so.
Obviously, if you want to reuse it, then it's not
hachana.
But if you don't plan on using it, you just want them clean because you have hours of washing dishes.
That's what's awesome. That's awesome because you want to save. You don't want to have to spend time. In other words, it's going to take you 2 hours to do it. So you could either have the 2 hours now and the 2 hours of Motzai Shabbos. But Motzai Shabbos it's ending at 10 o'clock. You don't have to start doing dishes from 10 to 12 on the Motzai Shabbos. It would be much more convenient to just do it in the in the afternoon. It was such a long afternoon, so that would be awesome.
Would it counter space in Einstein?
I don't know.
No, if you find it to be like, it's not, it's, you find it gross that you...
Oh, okay, so that's a discussion. About, right, you don't get, because, you know, you don't want, you just can't deal with the whole clutter.
One sink. When you only have one sink.
When you have one sink. Yeah.
I love that. I have two sinks. But yeah, when you only have one sink, then you have to do the dishes because you need to use the sink for something else.
Okay, right. If right.
Sometimes if you don't do the dishes, your wife put you in the oven.
Yeah.
Yeah. About the toilet paper, I don't follow how it would be in our Rai versus Keba conversation. Because
you don't read, in other words, because you do, there are two issues. One of the issues is the chatech, so that's a discussion whether this is called chatech. And the other issue is now you're making, by cutting off the toilet paper, you're making it into something that's Rai to clean oneself. So that's it, Kshal of Tikkun Mana. But if you hold Tikkun Mana, it's only on like the eyeglasses case that I gave you. You're sacking something that's going to be a permanent thing. So then one could argue that this is not called Tikkun Mana because this thing, it could be a mana for a couple of seconds, and then it's gone. The only question with that shita is that the Gemara talks about making a toothpick on Shabbos, and says if you take some wood and you turn it off, so that you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. So the question is, and this was, you know, for us toothpicks are, as we say, one and done, you know. But it's not necessarily what, as people have pointed out, what was done Bisman Chazal, you know, that you had the toothpick, so it could be that it was. You know, indefinite until it wasn't usable anymore. Not necessarily what we would do today. Today, I don't know how many people were going to reuse toothpicks. They're going to do it rather than throw it away. Yeah.
Let's say eight sets of dishes, and you need four Friday night and four Shabbos day. Could you reuse them? Could you wash them Friday night, saying, "Oh, I want to use these ones tomorrow," or do you have to?
You mean, but you don't really. You're doing
it. You don't want to do the dishes to accumulate.
Right. Well, you're doing it. In other words, if you're doing it for harama, you know, like, you don't really need to do it, so then it's not so great.
Alright.
Yeah.
If you're mocked during the week to wash the dishes, like, right away after you eat, and then you do the same thing on Shabbos, because it's not saving you time. It's just that every time you use the dishes, it's part of using it as you clean it right away.
Right, okay. I mean, because you're like... you're one of these people that, you know, doesn't want to see clutter for... Okay, I can hear such as...
That's not what I do. I mean, my wife doesn't appreciate it, but...
Yeah. Okay, so... So that is the discussion. I figured that would be a Sukkot topic, and with, you know, Arai, Keva, you know, Sukkot's Diras Keva, Sukkot's Diras Arai, the Mezuzah, Esrimamos, and the Shemus discussion, the Tefilas Kalim, the Kiddush Cup, the Tefilas Yadayim Cup. Also, this discussion in Hilchas Nida about Ksamim on pads or on... So in America, Rav Moshe said that all disposable things are not mekabel tumah, and that's the sheet I follow. That so a pad, a panty liner, if there would be a kesem, you'd have the din of kesem and ain't a mekabel tumah. It would be mutter unless it's a lot of blood, which is a shayla v'daraisa, and then it wouldn't. And Rav Eliashiv didn't accept that sheet. He was machmer even on disposable things, and that's why in Eretz Yisrael they manufacture colored pads and panty liners, because then it will be the heter of tzivonim. But I follow the shita that like with Rav Moshe Paskin in America. Rav Birka Zatzal followed the Shita that as long as it's external, all tissues and things like that, as long as it didn't go inside, anything time you that's internal, that's already a Shaila V'Daraisa, and then you don't get any coolness. But anything that's external, so like a tampon is internal, so then even though it's disposable, that it will be a Shaila V'Daraisa, and then there won't be any cool if there's any dam on that. But anything that's external, as long as it doesn't have a ribui dam, we could be makel. And that was the... I remember I was at a wedding once that Rabbi Welcher was saying that he recalls from Queens, he calls Rabbi Moshe Feinstein looking at the color of on a tissue. So the child he asked is, but if Rabbi Moshe held disposable, it's not a problem, so why is he looking at the color? So one of the years that I was with Rabbi David Zatzal in the Sukkah, I asked him this question, and he said in a Hanami that in the beginning Rabbi Moshe was Masupak on this heter, but then as the years progressed, he held b'shofi that the things that are disposable are not in the kamotum, and then he stopped looking. As long as it wasn't such a big thing, it would be even more than a gris, but it wasn't a ribui dam, then it normally would have been a shayla of a kesem mitrabanan, but since it's undisposable, it wasn't the kamotum. Okay, Rabosai, so as we say in the davening, the benching, Harachamon Yokim Lono Sukkas Dovid Anofalas, that the Sukkah is reminiscent of the Beis HaMikdash. So even though our Sukkahs today are Adir Sarai, we must follow that we should have a Kvias of Harachamon Yokim Lono Estu Sukkas Dovid Anofalas, Bebinyon Beis HaMikdash Bimhera Vyamir.